Welcome to another episode of SharkBites.net, where we delve into issues of tech leadership in the public sector. Please consider subscribing wherever you get your podcasts or simply go to SharkBites.net. Here now is our host, Dr. Alan Shark, Executive Director of the Public Technology Institute, now a division of Fusion Learning Partners.
Hi there, this is Alan Shark. Welcome to another episode of SharkBites.net. We are still here at the NIGP conference, the National Institute for Government Procurement, and we're very fortunate to be with Brooke Smith, who is a city recorder of Murray City in Utah. Welcome, Brooke.
Having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So I'm fascinated. I look at your background, and first of all, what our listeners are not seeing, you are well certified. Yeah. If you had any more, you would a business card would require a second side. You are NIGP-CPP, MIS, MMC, UCC. What's next?
Hopefully no more initials, but I am a lover of continued education. I love learning about AI, and I will continue to research and take classes that I think will help advance and help me move forward.
So you've had over a decade of experience in public administration and policy. You oversee purchasing, passports, records management, functions of the city. You serve as the National Institute of Government Purchasing Finance Council. You volunteer with Radio NIGP and was the 2022 president of the Utah chapter of NIGP. Your expertise spans procurement processes and governmental regulations, and you have all this list of accomplishments, and if I keep going, we'll have no time left. So tell me, how did you, there are certain professions that you wake up in the morning and say, I want to be a doctor, I want to be an airline pilot. What led you to get into procurement?
Roundabout way. I started my career 20 years ago in local government and their prosecuting office, so I had a great chance to read city and state codes and then start working on the contract management side. That's where I really got a foundation for it. I then moved and took a new position with economic development, where I got to meet the vendors and have that one-on-one conversations. And then when this procurement role came up, everything fell into place, and I found my people. I found a love for what I do because it brings in the law, it brings in the contract management. You get to meet with the vendor community, and you get to build better communities, and that is what is really inspiring as a procurement professional.
I think what's interesting to those not in procurement is this community, public piece to it.
Yeah,
that gives you excitement. How much do you think the public really knows about procurement?
Not a whole lot. It's surprising how many people fall into procurement rather than have that be their direct career path. Part of Utah's initiatives is trying to work with colleges to bring better resources to the student population and have a procurement designated class and have that introductory course and have people start really looking into this field because it is so diverse, it's so fluid, and we do a lot of amazing things, and that brings a lot of joy to the people that are in the program and in the profession, because once we're in here, we don't leave.
I can see that, the enthusiasm, given all the hours of the day. You know, the audience that normally listens to this are usually tech people, very often chief information officers, technology leaders, and they're always looked upon as the office of no. They're the ones that worry about shadow government. They've got their obstacles, and they've got their challenges in their description working with those in procurement. Not you personally, but it's an issue, and you are looked upon professionally as the contract police.
Right.
So it seems to me that there's a natural alliance that should be exploited to the positive between working together, because you're one of the few that I've talked to, actually there's many of you, that really see technology as an assist, and I don't think people realize that.
Right. Yeah, so when we are doing research or anything we are doing for our community, we are trying to find the alignment of the core values. What our community wants to see, and procurement can do that. And with the AEI help and like the assistance that we can do on building information using AI or resources at our hands, that's what's important for us and helping us be better and faster and more efficient.
Yeah, that's great. So in particular, what attracted you most about AI when you started reading about it?
Oh, that is a good question. I could see the tracks leading before the train, and I wanted to get on that train. It's so fast, fascinating, and moving so fast. I wanted to make sure that I was continually learning about it and just researching it, and then spreading the word. This is a solution that I used in a time of need when I was short-staffed and we had a big project coming up. And it worked so well for us that I wanted to make sure that other public professionals knew about it and knew that we can use that as a resource.
And that's one of the great things about NIGP and my organization, PTI, is this is where professional societies and associations really can help people that would not normally be exposed to these new ideas and tools.
Yeah. The networking at these events is bar none, and being able to work with a group of people that have your core values, understand the contract and the nuances of procurement. This is the NIGP and what they bring to the table and how they help us connect with people is fascinating.
So I noticed that many people here are women. And I think people would be surprised to see how many in this audience are really into this stuff,
right,
and in technology. So from a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being I'm really into technology versus 1, I'm fearful of it, where do you see yourself?
Myself? Oh, 5, 100%.
I'm not surprised. That's right. What I would have thought.
Yeah. But I use it with caution. I have a 3 C's that I always like to say: be curious, be cautious, and be critical of the responses that you get out, and making sure that you're using it in the appropriate manner.
So we had a question in the session that we're just leaving now, where we had like 300 people, which is pretty amazing. One of the questions was, how do I preserve what I have to protect myself against AI? Now, you weren't here to hear my answer. Right. What would be your answer?
I don't know if it's about preserving, but I want to draft that question in a certain way. Is as AI gets better at being AI, we have to become better at being human and having that human connection and those human values. And so that means as AI gets better, we've got to have career goals and hobbies and a network of people that we can trust and rely on, and make those connections, and not from a phone. We can't have our phones in our face anymore. It's got to be face to face. And so that's why going to conferences is also very important.
Yeah, I'm just so happy to be back among 1,600 people here now, suddenly your best friends.
Right.
And it's very contagious. Everyone is excited, buzzing. Every session is filled to capacity.
Yes.
And we're at a convention center, not a hotel.
Yeah, standing room only most times too.
Yeah. So where do you see the bridge between technology and procurement? How do you see that growing? Because I intimated the need to work more closely with whoever you have in your organization, like the chief information officer or your technology. What kind of relationship do you have your city?
Yeah, so you're constantly bringing in people into the conversation, inviting people and sharing that information. So we're bringing in our attorney's office, we're bringing in IT directors, attorney's office, I'm sorry, I already said attorney's office, but the mayor's office and other users. There's people out there that want to know more about it. There's not a lot of education. There is a lot of noise. And so you've got to filter through the information and make sure that people are aware of the guardrails that you can put up and make sure that they're being safe and using it during their practices, but also give them the allowance to be creative and exposed to something that's going to change the world.
So you hear the conversation we've had all day today in different forums about the difference between guide rails and guardrails.
Yes.
Do you have any policies that govern AI in particular?
Yeah, we are working on some for Murray City right now. We haven't had the final version go out, but we are also actively using what GovAI Coalition has put out. They've got some great foundational models to build off of, and then also using our own expertise and experience with our city attorneys and having them help us draft up something that can be used citywide but also be specific to protect the city's data.
So who's leading the charge in your city for AI?
I am probably the leader of it. And it's fun to see other staff members get involved and be supportive of that initiative that I've started.
And where do you think we're going to be 5 to 10 years from now, knowing where what technology can do? And I've pointed out, you know, we're only less than 5 years with this technology. Mm-hmm. Alexa and Amazon's Siri and all that, and they're in our 10th year.
Yeah. So I like to think of this. I saw a commercial a couple months ago, and it showed a guy waking up, going for a run, doing errands, doing some shopping. He came back home, checked in with his AI assistant. The AI assistant said, we got 3 emails, and here's how I initiated a response. Are you okay if I send them? And here's how what I appointments I scheduled for you. Are you okay on these dates? And then he went out and did, he was kayaking down the river. I think we will see a small version of that, whether it means we work less hours or we transition somehow. There's going to be a shift in how we work and what we allow AI to do for us. And that is very exciting. So as I'm telling people, like, use AI, get familiar with it. Also, have a hobby. Join clubs and have your purpose in life be something bigger and better than just what you do for a job. You've got to have that.
So you're an internal optimist. Yes. What worries you about AI? I mean, is anything that's, I'm a little nervous about this.
The amount of information it learns and how fast it learns is concerning to me. The data privacy and bad players acting bad with it. There, you always have the good with anything that's developed, but you've got people that are going to do it purposely to harm you. And we've got to be steadfast in that, because I think that will happen very fast as well.
So you have all these things. You're a lifelong learner. You're an advocate. You're a leader. Where do you see yourself in the next 5 years?
Oh, I have never thought about this question. I've always had a career goal to be a deputy city manager. I always want to move up in my position. It is very hard to move up, especially in Utah. You are against some challenges. But I think we will still need practical users in government and that know AI. And so I hope I still have a career, a lifelong prosperous career in government. I hope we utilize AI in our communities and our community members benefit from that.
What other things is the city contemplating in terms of using AI? I mean, certainly procurement, but are there other applications that are being discussed now?
Yeah, certainly. For the city recorder, I have a few applications for it. We are talking about using it for our power department and our public utilities and public works divisions. There's so many applications that AI can do for our city that the limit is really, there is no limit.
So you almost shortchanged yourself in your answer before when I said, where do you see yourself in 5 years? I said, well, maybe an assistant. Why not a city manager? You have so much to offer.
I would love to be a city manager, okay. But I need to step between
okay.
that before I go
just,
there.
Because a lot of people have moved the ranks in three interesting ways. One, CIO to city manager,
yeah.
because they know the technology.
Yeah.
The other, believe it or not, is GIS. Folks.
Yeah.
GIS is a natural thing because you have visualized data
yes.
and you know how to tell stories that it can be very captivating. I know quite a few CIOs that yeah. started in GIS.
Yeah.
Now I'm wondering about the career path for somebody in procurement like yourself.
Right. I think procurement gets underplayed so much. And I try to explain this when I'm talking to executives or going to business job interviews is procurement has the unique ability that we know what is being built. We know how operations are run. We're working with division managers already and department managers. And so we have this unique perspective that really supports the city in a strong way. And then if you have other skills like my legal background or my economic and development background, these are all skill sets that a city manager should have. And I'm hoping someday someone will see that.
And I'm hoping I interview you as the new city manager of somewhere. I mean, that's a real possibility.
Right, yeah. I'm trying to set up a career path to get me there, and I'm excited to see where that goes.
Great. I want to thank you for taking the time for the interview. Is there any question that I should have asked you and then I didn't?
Ooh, good question. I would just love your perspective. Where do you see AI in 5 years, and how is that going to change in the field of procurement now that you are in this community? Where do you see AI?
Well, in the presentation I just made, I came up with 9 areas in which AI, I think, can play an important role.
Yeah.
And I put in some caveats, too. I think they are going to be the ultimate digital assistant that we've been talking about forever. Just like you use the example of an AI agent that is setting up meetings, answering certain responses. It reminds me, I saw a dean of a college, and we were talking. I said, oh, hey, it's not for me. And I said, do you write letters?
Mm-hmm.
And then I got her attention.
Yeah.
I said, what are you talking about? I said, you can ask it to draft, just give it so much information. It can draft letters of recommendation. Think about that for a faculty or a dean. It's like, oh, my God. And that was it. I got her attention real fast. So in procurement, I think there are so many interesting applications that are going to help streamline the process, do better market intelligence, vendor intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
It really raises the question about the future of the RFP.
Right. Yeah. When you can have an RFP be answered automatically, just with what your company has created, is a game changer, and we'll start to see that.
I think the pandemic taught us many things, both good and bad.
Right.
One, we saw the vendor community come out of the woodworks and supported us in local government as never before.
Yeah.
They were unbelievable. We've learned an awful lot about that, but we also know that procurement can really slow things down in a time when we're looking for more agility.
Yeah.
How do we see, is AI going to be the agent that helps us speed up the process? Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Yeah, I think it will be a good thing because now we have the power to use what we've gained at these conferences and the knowledge that we've had in procurement and just enhance those that information that we give out to our community. I've already seen it play out in my own life where I'm quicker and faster and be able to work on preparing for conferences like this and opening up some hours for me that I wouldn't have otherwise.
Well, Brooke, you've been great to talk to.
You're
inspiring. I do look forward to interviewing as a city manager, maybe along the way, assistant city manager.
Okay,
but we've been talking with Brooke Smith, who is a city recorder, Murray City Corporation. Why is the word corporation in there?
I think it was founded, when we were founded in 1903, we did have our own power division, and that was part of the incorporating so we could keep our power with us instead of going to this local community power. I'm not 100% positive, but I think that's what happened.
And names are very, very interesting in their history. Anyway, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You've been listening to another episode of SharkBites.net. Please consider subscribing wherever you get your podcasts or simply go to SharkBites.net. And if you or someone you know has a story to tell, please let us know.